17 verses, and I invite those of you who would like to stand for the reading of the Word of God to do so and follow along with me as I read God's Word. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example, that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." You may be seated. So the title of the sermon this morning is simply this: serve one another. And that is the lesson that Jesus taught his disciples. Now, again, I remind us that we're now into that last week of time that Jesus was on earth that led up to his crucifixion on Friday and resurrection on Sunday. And so now he's going to be spending particular amounts of time with his disciples, mentoring them, preparing them for his going back to the Father, and teaching them the lessons that they need to know and learn and put into practice when he will be absent from them. And so these first four verses are words of introduction to this message on serving one another. And it was before the feast of the Passover, and Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, which simply means, again, previously there have been chapters where Jesus said, "My time has not yet come, my hour has not yet come." But now he realizes just how close he is to the crucifixion and resurrection, and he knows that now my hour has come. This is the very reason that I left heaven and came here by way of being conceived by the Holy Spirit, causing Mary to conceive and give birth to me as a virgin. I am God in the flesh who has come to dwell here and to accomplish my mission, which is to live a sinless life, to die upon the cross, to shed my blood, to make payment for the sins of all of my people, past, present, and future, and to rise again from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and hell. That's why I came. That's my mission. That's what I'm going to accomplish And it's going to be even by the next 7 days. And so his hour has come. He realizes that. He should depart out of the world and go back to the Father. He realizes that. His time on earth is short. Now, we do know after his resurrection, he stayed around and appeared to the disciples and did some other things for a period of 40 days before ascending into heaven. But that's where he is now, seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible makes it clear that he's interceding for us. And he one day will come again, and we will hear more about that when we get into chapter 14. Well, he knows what's ahead for this week and what's ahead after that. He's got to return to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And I can assure you, he still loves us yet today. And his promise to us in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 39, is nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so we heard some pretty hard things this morning in Ezekiel chapter 1 in our Sunday school class about God's wrath and his judgment and punishment. But thankfully, we who are born again of his Spirit will never experience any of that. He makes clear our sins are forgiven totally, completely, every single one, the big ones, the little ones, and everything in between. And he's even said, I will remember your sins no more. And so we are redeemed forever, and we can give thanks, much thanks for that, and experience great joy in our hearts and lives as a result of our sins being forgiven in Christ. Well, he loved his own who were in the world, and that's why he came into the world to do everything he had to do to redeem us and save us and give to us forgiveness of sins. And so it was during supper, he realized the devil having already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. Again, these things are weighing upon him, and rightly so, because the time has come, the hour has come, when he will go through and experience these things, that awful thing of death by crucifixion, and what agony and pain and all of that that was involved. And what really got to him was when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that was the moment as he hung on the cross, and the wrath and punishment of God that's due to the people of his who had sinned fell upon him. He took that willingly upon himself. He died in our place. He was our substitute. And the Bible makes it clear that he was and is indeed the all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. Well, Jesus knew all this. And so now he rose up from supper. He laid aside his garments. He took a towel. He girded himself about with it. And then verse 5 says, then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Now, we Americans don't do a whole lot of walking, but if we do, we usually have on tennis shoes or some kind of shoe or maybe even a boot that completely covers our feet, and our feet don't get dirty and sweaty and stinky like those disciples' feet did when they wore their disciples and they were walking everywhere. So for one to wash another's feet was a very lowly, menial, dirty task. It wasn't a pleasant thing. In fact, I really wouldn't even want to wash someone's feet who had kept them fully covered. And sometimes even those are a little bit smelly, if you know what I mean. But so Jesus humbled himself to do this lowly, menial, dirty task. It was an act of service. And he was serving his disciples and teaching them a very significant lesson by doing it. It wasn't simply to wash their feet so that their feet would be clean, but it was to, as he will say later, leave them an example to follow that they should do likewise. Well, he was going around washing their feet, and he came to Simon Peter. And so we know about him. He usually opens mouth and inserts both feet, not just one. And we probably have run across a few in our day who are like Peter. And so Peter responded and said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand later." So he understood Peter. He understood where he was coming from. And Peter just could not imagine his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, stooping, humbling himself to do such a dirty, lowly, menial task. It was just beyond his comprehension to allow that to happen. And so Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Well, Jesus did not accept that response, but responded to him and answered him and said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And there, obviously, Jesus is referring to that passage that was later written in 1 John 1:7, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then his blood cleanses us from all sin. And he goes on to talk about sin, and that if we say we have none, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so that's what he was basically saying to Peter: if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. But Jesus knew that my hour has come. Crucifixion day is Friday. I will be nailed to a cross. I will shed my blood to wash away the sins of all of my people. And so then Simon really didn't get that, but he wanted, obviously, to be a part of being with Jesus and being one of his. And so he comes back with the statement, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If that's what it takes, you washing me for me to be a part of you and with you and to be one of yours, then don't stop with my feet. Do more than that." But then Jesus responded to him and said, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." And so he communicated to Peter, "Peter, you're already clean. You just need your feet washed. And then I'm going to explain to you in a moment why I'm doing this. You don't get it right now, but you'll get it just shortly." For verse 11 says, "For he," Jesus, "knew the one who was betraying him. And for this reason, he said, not all of you are clean." And there he was making a reference to Judas, who would indeed betray him. And now the verses that are recorded contain the message and example that Jesus set before his disciples when he washed their feet. Verse 12 says, "And so when he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and reclined at table again, he said to them," and it's in the form of a question, "Do you know what I've done to you?" Do you get it? I can remember a time when I didn't get it. I'll share that with you a little later. But he's asking them, do you get it? Do you understand what I've done to you and why I've done it? Do you get it? "You call me teacher and Lord," And you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. And truly, truly, and we know the emphasis of that, the Lord uses that phrase, we would say something like, come alive, wake up, I'm about to tell you something extremely important. I don't want it in one ear and out the other. I want it to sink in, so listen up. And he said, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. And if you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. And so Jesus set the example for his disciples. He was willing to humble himself and to do the lowly, menial, dirty task, and then challenge them to go and do likewise. I have served you in this way. Now you serve one another this way. You are not above stooping to doing lowly, menial, dirty tasks. I remember when the Lord taught me that lesson. We were in Fayetteville, my first pastorate out of seminary. I just graduated in May, and I don't remember how long into the ministry we were, but we were meeting in the Confederate Women's Home in Fayetteville in the chapel, and we went in one Sunday morning, and there was a foul odor in that place. I mean, it just terrible. And so the next week, we went hoping things would be better, and took some aerosol spray cans, thinking that we can at least walk around if it's still there and we can do that and it'll be okay. Well, it was worse. It was even worse. This was a church plant, so we didn't have elders or deacons. And so I began to think, man, Lord, wish we had some deacons. I could go to them and say, y'all need to get up under here and clean this thing out, whatever's there causing it, get rid of it. This is horrible. But we didn't have any deacons. And so I don't know. I don't remember exactly how the next things went, but it was probably something like this. I was probably complaining, and Joyce was overhearing it, about we don't have anybody to do it. And I can just hear her saying now, well, why don't you do it? And so I thought to myself, well, it needs to be done. And I can't pass that off on somebody else. So it was a crawl space under that chapel. And so I took the flashlight and opened the crawl space, and it was not a big crawl space. It was very small, not much room. And I shined the light around underneath there in the crawl space. And sure enough, I saw something look like a dead animal, but guess what? It was at the far end from where I was. It wasn't right there. And I kept looking around, and I saw, and the Lord provides, there was a broken down box that was laying flat. And I thought, well, I'm just going to have to crawl in here and get that box and see if I can slide it up under whatever that is and drag it back to the entrance and get it out of there. That's the only solution to this problem. So I crawled in there, and I wasn't able to crawl on hands and knees. There wasn't that much space. You had to do this and push with your feet and your nose in the dirt. And I mean, it was awful. And the closer I got, the worse it smelled. But I got that box, slid it up under, and saw that it was a cat, the dead cat. And so I drug it back to the entrance to the underneath part of the chapel. And I crawled out first and got it close as I could to the opening. And I thought, I'm not going to bend down there and pick up that box, because if I do that to get it out, my nose is going to be right on that stinking thing. And it's horrible enough as it is. So I thought, well, I'll just grab it by the tail, pull it out by the tail, and then I can get rid of it. Well, I grabbed that tail and tried to lift it out. The tail came off in my hand, and literally the maggots just started crawling everywhere. That thing wasn't just dead. It was rotten. It was rotten. And so I had to do what I didn't want to do. So I had to bend over in there, pick it up, buy the cardboard box, get it out from under there. And I took it down through the woods, threw it down in the woods, and disposed of the cardboard box correctly, as it should have been disposed of. And when I was finished, I thought to myself, Lord, I don't think those dirty feet smell this bad. I couldn't help but say it. But I also had to go on to say, but Lord, I thank you for teaching me that lesson and teaching it to me early in my ministry. And it was the first one out of seminary, and he knew I needed to learn that. And so he taught me that lesson, and that I should not be above doing lowly, menial, dirty tasks in serving his people. And so I got it and was thankful for it. Well, we went to our next church. It was in Florida, Fort Walton Beach, and we had a work day there every 3 months, I think it was. And the deacons put up a list of things that needed to be done, and you got there and signed up for whatever it was, and you did that. Well, Joyce and I had noticed the entrance to the fellowship hall. It was linoleum floor covering, and it was filthy. I mean, it was terrible. That wasn't on the list. So we decided, well, that's something we can do. So we'll take on that challenge. So we did, tried to mop it. It couldn't come up with mopping. So we got some stuff together, got down on our hands and knees, scrubbing that floor to clean it up. And at that point, we had a lady to come in and see us. And I thought at the time that she was going to cry. I really did. And she said, "You don't know how good that makes my heart feel to see y'all down there doing that. We've never had a pastor and his wife who would stoop to do such a lowly, menial task as that." And I thought to myself, well, we're not doing it to, I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, we're not doing it to impress anybody. And if I told her about the cat, she probably would cry. So I'm not going to tell her about that. But I just said, well, we see things need to be done, we do it. That's what serving is about. You see something needs to be done, you just do it. Get it done. And again, thankful the Lord had taught me that lesson and that I was continuing to put that into practice to be pleasing in his sight. And the verse says, I hope you picked up on that, verse 17, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And I can stand before you and say this morning, I'm very thankful that I'm pastoring a people who do much serving one another. And I know the Lord is pleased with that. And I know that you're blessed because you do that. You obey him in serving one another. And I want to mention some of the, I'm not going to call any names. I'm just going to tell you about things I see people doing that serve one another. First of all, concerning the ministry of the word, we have ladies who teach ladies Bible study and give leadership to that, and other ladies who host that event in their home. All of that is serving one another. We have Sunday school teachers, some who teach children, have in the past, do now, and others who are willing to fill in if necessary. That's serving them. And now we have six men who are teaching the adult Sunday school class. And some of them get a very difficult lesson, like the one did today, And then that was so scary to me, I looked ahead to the next one I've got to teach, and I thought, Lord, you bless me. This one's going to be a piece of cake. But the one today was, I'll admit, extremely difficult, but the man teaching did a great job. And so we have six men rotating, taking that responsibility and serving one another concerning the ministry of the word. We have spiritual leaders, a couple of elders, and they are men who are indeed concerned about your spiritual well-being and your well-being in every area. That's why the vision statement was put together. Our vision is to glorify God by growing spiritually, first and foremost, and numerically, second to that, all for his glory. Well, we have those who serve us concerning the ministry of music. And we have a good number that are doing that. And we are all thankful and glad for those who play the instruments, those who sing, those who coordinate all of that. And it's glorifying to God and beneficial to us, and we're thankful for it. If you contribute financially, and I hope you do, you're serving the Lord and his people in that way. It takes money to do ministry, and that's just the reality of it. And even as I pray, Lord, that every penny put in the plate, you will bless and use it to build your church and expand your kingdom. And if you contribute to that, that's exactly what you're doing. Building his church and expanding his kingdom until he comes again. I want to read a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. You might want to follow along with me on this one. It's verses 22 through 25. And it has to do with attending. And you're attending today. You're present today. And I want you to know and be reminded that you're serving the Lord and others when you show up, because it's encouraging to see our brothers and sisters on the Lord's day studying, fellowshipping, and worshiping the Lord our God. Hebrews 10, 22 through 25 says this: let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And the next verse explains how that is, that we can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And here's what it says: not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day growing near. Now, again, we understand that sometimes we are not physically able to make it, and no one holds that against anyone. I remember when we went through the COVID thing, and I remember, and it's difficult for me to try to preach sitting down. That's just hard. But yet, I had to do that during COVID. We couldn't get together. We zoomed in. We got on the computer screens and did the best we could with what we had during that period of time. So what I'm saying is this: sometimes we are sick and ill, like some are today, and not able to be here. We do not judge nor condemn them for that. But it is encouraging when we see them here, and we hope and pray for their healing so that the next time we gather, they will be present. And so even when you attend, you are serving the Lord and his people in that way. We celebrate communion the first Sunday of every month. We have some who break the bread, who provide the loaf, who cut up the pieces, put that on the tray, fill up the cups, and set that on the table, and give that readiness for us to celebrate the Lord's Supper by eating the bread and drinking the cup, and then clean up afterwards. That doesn't just automatically fall out of the sky. People are serving by putting that together. There are those who clean the building and serve us all in that way. And there are those not only who clean the building, but the bathrooms. Now, to me, cleaning those bathrooms is going to be something between washing the dirty feet and getting out the rotten cat. I mean, it's in there somewhere. It's a pretty dirty, lowly, menial task. But we have people willing to do it. And we're thankful. And then those who carry off the garbage. That can't just remain in the garbage cans forever. That has to be carried out and new bags put in. Well, we encourage one another when we Zoom into prayer meeting. And I'll be the first to admit, when I see you there and hear you pray, that encourages me tremendously. And I want to encourage you to keep that up. Those who provide the flowers and take care of that for us, they're serving us in that way. Some are willing to help others who need it in a variety of ways. Some of us, if we have a computer problem, we know who to take it to, and we get the help we need, and that's a tremendous thing. Some help by visiting others who for whatever reason, weren't able to be here. Some help others by providing transportation to get them here or take them to a doctor's appointment or to shuffle them wherever they need to go, and willing to do that. We have many who see needs and respond to those to serve. Well, others often contact people, stay in touch, telephone call, text, email, or visit, and keep up with one another. Some of you, and it happened today, are good at gardening, real good at gardening, and grow some good stuff and bring in a basket of it to share with anybody that wants to take some. That's serving one another. Shoebox ministry to the children during the Christmas season. We have those who make sure that we get the boxes, and many pick up more than one box and fill it with the things that should be put in it. And then those are brought in at a certain time and delivered to Samaritan's Purse for them to distribute worldwide. And that's really serving one another. The gospel is always in those boxes, and those who deliver them share the gospel with those who are on the receiving end. We support Samaritan's Kitchen. We have an announcement every Sunday on the back of the bulletin concerning them. They are very appreciative of our monthly contributions as well as the other items that we give to them. And not only are we serving that ministry, we're serving the people that benefit from that ministry, those who are hungry and in need of meals and food. And so much service being delivered. We serve West Wilkes High School Pantry. We bring in items, sometimes contribute money. All that's delivered to them. And I can assure you, like with Samaritan's Kitchen and Samaritan's Purse, these people also greatly appreciate what we do to support them and encourage them. We have some that keep up the prayer sheet. That's a day's work in itself to keep up with that, to add new things, to delete old things, to change and update and upgrade, and then provide that for us. We have those who take care of our money stuff, just like you've got to have someone at home to do that at home. Well, we're a family, church family. We have to have someone who will make the deposits, keep up with the income and expenses, pay the bills, and the session gets a full report every month concerning that month's activity. And those things are being done by people serving. Luncheons and dinners. I have one coming up Thursday evening, 6 p.m. A lot of serving goes into that event. We have those who coordinate that event. We have those who provide food. We have others like me who provide an appetite and enjoy what's brought and delivered. And then there are those who set up, those who clean up. All of those things are serving one another. We have some who host other things in their homes, times of fun and fellowship, sometimes snacks, sometimes a full meal. And those things are going on and serving one another. We have a website. And we have one who manages that for us, keeps it up to date. And that's a very good thing. We have others who make suggestions, as you know, to the session. And when we meet on Thursdays, we consider what's been suggested. And we think through the application of that to all of us and seek to take into consideration the impact that would have on everybody, not just the one making the suggestion. And we do our best to acknowledge and go by what's suggested and decide on doing that because it would improve things in the body. And you're serving others by making those suggestions. You see things that need to be improved and you don't hesitate to tell us about it. We're thankful for that. Some of you invite and bring family and others to church with you. That's a very good thing. That's carrying out our mission. And our mission is simply this: to glorify God by believing, teaching, preaching, and obeying his word, the Bible, and sharing all of his truth with others. And so I would encourage you to keep that up. Now that just has to do with serving one another in the church. And if I got to how you serve in the family and on the job and in the community and with other groups, we'd be here till mid-afternoon. So I'm going to skip over that, but just to say, I know that you're doing it. And that's a very good thing. It's really delightful to pastor a church where the people love the Lord and love one another. And by the way, that's the title of the message next week toward the end of John 13, love one another. And to see you serving one another because he has loved us first, and therefore we love him and one another in return. And that shows itself in the way that we serve. And I commend you for the way that you serve one another. It's certainly glorifying to God and is helpful and good for all of us who are on the receiving end of all of the serving one another that goes on. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you again today for the way that you have worked in our lives and for the way you continue to work in our life to mold us and make us into your people, and how you empower and enable us, convicting and convincing us to do those things that we do to serve others. And we know it's pleasing in your sight. And so we don't do it for personal recognition. We just do it because it needs to be done. And you tell us to do it, follow your example, and we thank you for teaching us that lesson. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Our concluding song today is in the Psalter book. Last Sunday, I just announced Psalm 130. I messed it up. And it's on page 196. Psalm 130 is in two places in the book. Many of us, I'm one of them, that just went to Psalm 130. I didn't go to 196, but we're going to all get on 196 today, and hopefully that will be a big improvement from last Sunday. And I apologize to you for not giving you the page number last week. Today, 196, let's stand and sing together. And now receive the benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be unified with each one of you now and forevermore, enabling and empowering you to serve one another after the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.